Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, thank God for another blessed day. Hey, wherever you listen to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we're grateful today for you have blessed us to come and assemble again together in your word. You said in your word that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. Therefore, Lord God, we are grateful that you are here with us to make good on your word. Therefore, Lord, we dare not to take this journey into the word of God without you. So we're giving a special request that your spirit would accompany us. And Lord God, I pray that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name. And every heart and every ear that is seeking you, that they may hear and sense the presence of your spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for this day you made and created. And all glory and honor and praise go to you, my God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, thank God for another blessed day. I want to once again open up from what is called the Word of the Lord, Message 12. The 12th time that Jesus sent his angelic being called the resurrected John the Baptist, the Elijah. You can check with God on that. I don't have a problem telling you that and sending you to Jesus if you want a proof that this thing is real. And so he sent this message out July the 18th, 1929. Jesus sent it out, not the messenger. The messenger is the one bringing the message from Christ. And it is to go to God's people, and we're grateful for that. I want to read one of the scriptures out of this 12th message that the Lord had his angelic being to tell us in the name of Jesus. He said, behold, the Lord has rejected all creeds and factions of men who have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight. Now, I want to stop there. And we have been talking about on this abomination series, this part, this is part two. To the title, Extra Oil, Abomination, Hands That Shed Innocent Blood. Hands That Shed Innocent Blood. And I let you know that the hands that shed innocent blood, to sum it up, is dealing with murder. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, 18, in fact, let's go there right quick. The Bible says, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Amen. And the word of God says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I share with you from the word of the Lord that God said he had rejected all creeds and factions that have gone away from the word, okay? All cliques, okay? Contentious cliques, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All, quote, fundamental beliefs of man, okay? Who have gone away from his word and have become an abomination in his sight. And so by having become an abomination, that means that they went through a change. and the change was not good. Hallelujah. And it was a change of form. Now, for those of you first-time listeners, you say, well, what do you mean? Well, for example, take water, liquid water. Liquid water is in this liquid form. If you put it in the freezer, it becomes ice, and it changed form to a solid form, okay? Well, when God said they have gone away from the word of the Lord and become an abomination in sight, that means they changed form. Now, as we walk in Christ, we're supposed to be, according to the word of the Lord, shaping our lives by the word of the Lord. Shaping means to form, okay? So God is letting us know, Jesus, our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, that at one point there were those who was professing to be believers. They were forming or shaping their lives by his word, but they went away from it, and now they're shaping their lives by the abomination. Well, what is one of the abominations? What we discussed in the night, murder. Murder. When you're shaping your life by these abominations, you have given into it. Your life evolves around this thing, okay? And the Lord said that there are those who have gone away from his word and have become an abomination, in this case, murderers. Now, this goes for anybody, me, you, and anybody that is, say, for example, Christians. When you go away from the word of the Lord, you become something that's not good. You change. Just like I gave you an example in the other part of the series on this abomination about Lucifer. When Lucifer said, I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars, well, he went away from the word of the Lord, because the word of God tells us in the Bible, in Matthew 23, that he that exalted himself shall be what? Abased. Okay? And so he was going to seek to exalt himself, but God had to bring him down. Okay? So when you go away from the word of the Lord, you become something. Okay? When you go away from it and shaping your life or forming your life by this thing, and you become something that's not good, okay? Just like on the positive side, in John chapter 1 in the Bible, and he said, as many as receive him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. So they changed from one state to another, okay? Amen. And so here, when you become something from what the scripture says here, they had become something that was bad, become abomination. And tonight we're talking about murder, which means they become murderers. Now, some of y'all, it's hard to fathom to think that, what, Christians have become murderers? Yes. See, we have some that teach among the body of Christ, once saved, always saved. That's not true, people. That's not true. Even as a Christian, you still have your free will. And you could choose at any point. This is a beautiful thing about God. God doesn't mess with your free will. You could choose at any point to say, forget this. I'm not walking in this way no more. Now, of course, Jesus being the loving God that he is, yes, he would reach out to you and say, hey, my child, repent, come back to me because of his love. But if you refuse it too long, he's going to let you go. Okay? And you have some Christians who are misleading people with that teaching of once saved, always saved. That's not true. You can be lost. You're not going to come to Jesus and then decide, say, I ain't going to do nothing else he said, and then you still going to bust the pearly gates wide open. I'm sorry. That's not in the scriptures, okay? That's against the word of God. And I think sometimes we take God as a fool. I really do. I think we think that because he's long-suffering and loving, we think that spells dummy. But that doesn't spell dummy. I don't serve a dumb God, okay? I don't serve a fool. I serve an intelligent God, a God whose wisdom can't even be touched by nobody, okay? So we can throw that out the way. Now, it says here, now, Solomon was used by the Lord to give us a list of things that God calls an abomination, or the things that he really hate or detest. I mean, he really can't stand this, okay? And he can't stand for us to operate in such a thing like this. And he calls it abomination. Now, we notice that he said hands that shed innocent blood. Okay? Hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I looked up the word murder, and murder, once again, I looked it up, and according to Hebrew and Greek, amen, according to the dictionary. And to sum it up, murder is dealing with smiting with a deadly, and it deals with killing a human, slaying somebody. It deals with a crime of unlawful killing a person, especially with what is called malice forethought, okay? Amen. So this is the sum up of the word murder, what it means, okay? And there are those who have went away from the word of the Lord and have become this. There are smiting people with deadly intent. Now, understand this. This is not just physically. Yes, it can involve physically. But even spiritually, with their teachings, that is killing people. People that is turning to them to be taught the word, they're teaching stuff that's killing folks. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And many of them are purposely killing people, even with their teachings, okay? Just like a person can murder somebody purposely, you know, physically, with a forethought, thinking and planning and stuff ahead of time and all that, or thinking before time what they're going to do, you got people who are doing the same thing spiritually, per se, in giving the word of God, okay? Or giving, not the word of God, but giving their teaching, okay? Amen. That they many times claim to be the word of God. But once again, they are killing people, okay? And the Lord said they have become an abomination in his sight. And he said he reject all creed and faction. Faction is, you got people, they are contentious and inclined, but it is about killing. They want to kill your peace, which we know that's the work of the enemy. Kill your joy, okay? That's all they for is contention. You get what I'm saying? And you got some people that physically wants to kill you, period. You said, what I do to them? You ain't always got to be to do something. Listen, there are some people who were once believers and went away from the word of the Lord, and they had this urge to kill people that are believers. Why? Because the light of Christ is shining through the true believer, and it's shining on them and showing them where they place. And they don't like them for that. So they out to do personal harm to them, whether it's physically or spiritually. They out to do personal harm. You understand what I'm saying? But God said, don't let that be so with you. Now, I don't care how macho and strong you claim to be, but if you go away from the word of the Lord, you're going to find out how strong and macho you are, okay? Because you will find yourself doing stuff that when you look at yourself later on, you say, oh, my God, I didn't believe I did that. Well, yeah, it happened. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, part one, I gave you a little short report about, for example, this minister who killed this man who's supposed to be in the church because he was having an affair with the man's wife. And the minister was married himself, okay? And he killed this other man, okay? Killed this man. And glory be to God. Now you're hearing this supposed to be a pastor. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I gave you another report of a pastor and his wife, and his wife killed him, killed the pastor, because the pastor and his wife were having sexual encounters with a guy, both of them. And it come to find out, the woman, she wanted to be alone with the guy for herself. So she coerced and talked the guy to killing her husband, which is the pastor. Amen. See, people, and some of you may say, but that don't mean they were saved. You're right about that. But then at one point, it don't mean that they wasn't at one point saved. Got away from the word of the Lord. Got into stuff. In fact, what the pastor and his wife were doing was an abomination anyhow, okay? When the pastor was engaging sexually with this man, that's a homosexual engagement, okay? So he was an abomination himself, okay? So what I'm saying is this, is that when you get away from the word of the Lord and you start getting into abominable things, you can become an abomination. You get to the point where you start forming and shaping your life about it. This is your life now. This is part of your life, okay? It's dangerous to get away from the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. Now, I want to come with some more scripture from the word of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his precious word. And I want to come with the message called Message 23. Message 23. And once again, this is Jesus sending his angel. And I told you all that, hey, you can check and ask Jesus for yourself. This ain't something I'm just coming up with, because I know some of y'all here just said, wait a minute. Oh, I got to click them off. Jesus ain't doing that. Well, how do you know Jesus is not sending more of his word? Now, once again, I didn't tell nobody to throw the Bible away, because the Bible carries the word of God also. Okay? So let's not be so quick to jump the gun. Now, in this message called the 23rd message, Jesus sent it October the 31st, 1930. I want you to hear what he says. He said, he had his message to tell us, he said, I come to you from time to time to instruct you in the things that must be done and to warn you of the many things that should come to pass. The work is great that is before you, and I will come to you often and give you line upon line that you may read it and read the words of the Lord to the prophets, read the words of the Lord to the prophets of old when they spoke of these times. For this is the beginning of sorrow spoken of by Christ when he said, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, now this is the beginning of sorrow. Now get this. He says, for verily men's hearts are filled with what? Evil, greed, selfishness, murder, hate, and sin. Now he said men's heart are filled with it. Okay. Now when you feel something up, that means it's full. There's no capacity for something else to get in there when it's filled. Okay, it's full. Okay. And he said that men, one of the things he named was murder. And so you become an abomination, because remember, we just read Solomon told us that God said murder or hands that shed innocent blood is an abomination. So you become an abomination, especially when your heart becomes filled with this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, another message called the 27th message, message 27. Message 27. Hallelujah. September the 2nd, 1931. Read this, hear what the word has to say right here. And it says, I am the messenger of the Lord. I have come from the presence of the Lord your God. John the Baptist is my name. I am a prophet of the Lord. Hear ye nations and repent of your sinful ways, for the Lord will not spare him that continue to do evil. The heart of man is filled with iniquity, his mind with mischief. Selfishness and greed have brought murder and crime among you. Do you hear that? Satan has done his work and man has followed his way. Therefore, he will reap the harvest he has sown. The Lord said, selfishness and greed have brought murder and crime. Well, see, that's what has happened to those many of his people that went away from the word of the Lord. What is it? What is it? Selfishness and greed. The cause of the what? Murder. Okay? Amen. We can't have brother so-and-so be noticed more than me. Okay? So I got to do something to kill his joy. Amen. To kill his faith in the Lord. Hallelujah. Selfishness and greed is what he said has brought murder and crime among you. My Lord. Message 28. Message 28. January the 24th, 1932. The word of the Lord said, thus says the Lord your God, hearken ye nations and hear ye inhabitants of the earth. Your sins have come up before me. You have rejected my laws and my commandments that I have given you, and instead you have heaped unto yourselves the traditions and commandments of men. Your hearts are filled with selfishness and murder and divers kinds of sin. Satan has filled your hearts with doubts and unbelief, and he holds full sway in your hearts. Therefore, the whole earth is in commotion, and the honest in heart must suffer because of the unjust. Now, those three messages I read, you notice a common theme concerning murder. He said, your hearts are filled with it. Selfishness and greed have brought murder among you. Hallelujah. He said, the whole world is in commotion. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. On the research, New York Times came out with it March 16, 2021, and it was titled, Murder Rate Remains Elevated as New Crime Reporting System Begins. Okay? And it says, the big increase in the murder rate in the United States in 2020 has carried over to 2021. A sample of 37 cities with data available for the first 3 months of this year shows murder up 18% relative to the same period last year. FBI released preliminary statistics showing a 25% rise in murder last year from 2019. So murder is steady going up. Unlawful killings is steady going up. Okay, you get that? I'm not talking about unlawful, not just by man law, but also, if we go deeper, the law of God. Okay? Unlawful killings is on the rise. Okay? People at a point where, you know, they just going to totally destroy you, bring you totally to ruin. And sad to say, we're talking about some that's supposed to be professing believers. You know? Amen. Carries this same kind of thought, mentality, okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. And so in Proverbs 6, we're told that hands that shed innocent blood, okay, which we deal with murder. Innocent meaning blameless, clean, guiltless, exempt. That's what he's talking about. And so God said that's something he really detests, that you kill the innocent blood. Now, I want to say something else in connection with this. And what I'm about to say, it is sad that among Christians, let's forget the sinners for a minute here, that among Christians, that this particular subject is such an argument in connection with this hand that shed innocent blood, because it's also dealing with a murder in another type. Because notice that in the book of Galatians, I think that's Galatians chapter 5, when it lists the works of the flesh, okay? When it lists the works of the flesh, it says murders, okay, with an S. That's plural, people. That's not just more than one number, but can also represent more than one type, okay? Amen. And so this other thing I want to mention that goes under this heading too, because like I said, I've heard some Christians who was for this particular thing being done, justified being done. And I'm going to read probably a couple of researches right quick from there. But this hand that shed innocent blood is also dealing with abortion. Like I said, I can see if we have an argument with sinners. But when it's an argument in the quote Christian community about abortion, that's kind of really mind-blowing, because once again, you're killing a life, and you're killing a life that's innocent, because that child is not that child's fault that they're inside the woman, okay? And so when you kill that child, you're killing innocent blood. You're murdering innocent blood.
Now, once again, you have some Christians who like, well, them baby going to heaven. God ain't worried about that. They going to heaven. Okay, so remember there's a life. So my question to you is, do that mean you can go kill a fellow Christian, let's say, and say, ain't nothing wrong with it, they're going to heaven? Because you know if we as believers die, where are we going? We go to paradise, right? So are you saying that, hey, if you just kill another believer, ain't nothing wrong, it's okay because they're going to heaven? If that be the case, then you don't need to repent. Now, don't. See, a lot of us as Christians, we listen to these doctors, and these doctors are quick to say, that's not a life. That's just a blob of blood. No, that's a life. From the moment of time, see, the conception, that's a life, okay? And we got to understand that the Bible tells us in Corinthians that God had tempered the body together. Now, not only the spiritual body, but also the physical body. And God set it in stage processes for growth. He set two processes for growth. One of the processes for growth is set inside the womb, okay, where they grow up to the particular point where it's time to be delivered. The second part of the process is that where you grow when you're outside the womb, okay? You get that? For you Christians that want to listen to these doctors that sit up there and tell you it ain't nothing but a blob of blood or a tissue, and you want to sit there and believe that, okay, may God have mercy on you. Because that's a life. And when you kill with it, you have that abortion, you are shedding innocent blood. I don't care if you the person straightway doing it or even if you are encouraging people to do that. Now, let me read a couple of researches to you right quick on that very situation right here. One of them is titled, I'm a Christian doctor and I help women have abortions. Yeah, you heard the title right. Let me read it again. And I'll read the rest of the title too. I'm a Christian doctor and I help women have abortions. And then it goes on to say, here's how I reconcile that by, and her name is Carol Portman. This was posted March the 30th, 2019 at 2 p.m. Now, this lady, Carol Portman, is a member of what is called the Uniting Church. She said, and this is what she said, in the 1970s, a call went out to join the United Church, and it was created to unite those of Methodist, Presbyterian, and other similar groups. Then she goes on to say, we support the basis of union, the church's statement of fundamental spiritual beliefs, and Christian faith. Christian faith. Now, this lady is also what is called an obstetrician. And she goes on to say, a lot of my work is about counseling people in their pregnancies who may find themselves in difficult circumstances. Over time, that has included working with people in regards to pregnancy termination. Then, this lady, she asks and answers a question. And her question was, the same lady, she said, how do I reconcile my work with my Christian faith? How do you reconcile murdering with a Christian faith? Interesting question, ain't it? This is what her response is. She said, the way I look at it is I have a job to do as a doctor, regardless of my, now listen to what she said now. I'm going to read it quick right back again and finish it. She said, this is how she reconciled it. And I pray that you listen closely. She said, the way I look at it is I have a job to do as a doctor, regardless of my personal feelings about something. Oh, she called it personal feelings, not the word of God. Personal feelings. She said, regardless of my personal feelings about something, it's not my decision because it's not my pregnancy or my body. I get that, but you're helping them in it, so you're a partaker. But anyhow, ultimately, she says, get this, one thing God really grants us above anything else is free will. Now, that's true. He grants us free will. If anything, I am able to provide patients with a loving non-judgmental support because of my beliefs. She said, God gave me these gifts, and through that, I can help these people through difficult times. How God may judge me is in the back of my mind. Did you hear that? She said, how God may judge me is in the back of my mind. She said, but what I believe that I am doing the appropriate and right things, and I am hoping that's how I will be judged. She said, I believe that only God can judge me. Now, wait a minute. First off, you said it was in the back of your mind. Now God doesn't want us every minute, oh, God's gonna judge. He don't want that. But I'm thinking that the greatest thing of God judging me, you know, I want to try to get stuff right, okay? Now, this lady sits here, and she said she has a job to do as a doctor, regardless of her personal feelings about something. Now, notice she said it's her personal feeling, not the word of God. See, people, this is what's wrong with many of us as Christians. We're going about more with personal feelings than we are the word of God. So if we go, but I don't feel it's nothing wrong with it, then we do it. See, God showed me about 21 years ago, and he spoke to me in the year 2000. He said, one of the reasons why his people really don't study the word, because they know that the word would tell them something about themselves. And they figure that, hey, if I don't get in it, I'm exempt. I can't be held accountable. Okay, go right ahead and keep thinking that. You claiming what you don't know won't hurt you, and you think that statement ride, don't you? Okay. Give you a physical example. How many of y'all went to the doctor because you had pain in your body, okay? You didn't know what was causing it, but it was hurting you then. Okay, then. Now, this lady sits here, and she calls it her personal feelings. Then she goes on like she's doing something great. She said, I provide patients with a loving, non-judgmental support. Now, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me, for example, we can't tell people to repent of their sins, and we're being judgmental if we tell them that? I thought that's what Jesus told us to tell them. Amen? Somebody help me. I thought Jesus told us, when he told us to preach the gospel, what's in the gospel? Repentance. So my question to this lady is that, okay, since you call it what you're doing and the information you provided in helping non-judgmental, then my question is this. Can you tell people to repent? Now, I know and heard of people who feel like you can't do that, and they supposed to be Christian. I said, well, John the Baptist hollered repentance. Jesus hollered repentance. And he told us to go and preach the gospel, which is repentance. So how come we can't say that with being judgmental? Listen, I can judge according to the word. Now, I'm not to judge according to my flesh, but according to the word of God, okay? Now, there are some of you listening. If someone broke in your house and stole something of you and the police called them, and he's going for the court and judge, I guarantee you, you're not going to jump up there and say, judge, you're wrong. You don't need me be judging him. No. It's just amazing. You know, and once again, this lady is saying, well, I give them help during that difficult time. Listen, if someone come to me about that, is I'm going to try to force them not to get an abortion? No. But would I tell them the truth? Yeah, I tell them, that's an abomination. And if you do it, you're going to suffer the consequences. The choice is up to you. I'm not going to sit up there and help them. See, you know, glory to God. And she said, well, it's not my body. That's true. That's not your body. Okay? Amen. But let me ask you a question. If somebody wants to rob a bank and they need a ride to the bank, and you know this, what you going to do? Give them a ride to the bank and tell them, well, they want to rob the bank. That's their choice, but I'm not the one going to be put in jail. But no, you a partaker. You helping them get to the destination to do the evil. So what are you talking about? Lord, help us, Jesus. We try to play the little inky way out. Like, I ain't doing it, straight doing it. You know, the word, there's a word called partaker, okay? And if you take somebody to go rob a bank, okay, you ain't got to be to rob the bank. If the police catch them and saw that it was your car they come from, guess who they come for? Come for you, okay? That's who they coming for, you. And they're going to call you what? An accomplice. Okay? And you can sit up there and cry and holler to the top of your voice. I didn't go in there and rob the bank. I just dropped them off. Well, you was accomplished. Gee whiz. Like my teacher used to say back in the days of fourth grade, gee whiz. Okay? What is this? Amen. And she said, well, and then she said, how God may judge me is in the back of my mind. Well, I would think I would want to find out from God if that's okay. Now, I can only imagine possibly that this woman had to hear at some point somebody as a Christian saying that abortion is abomination and check up on it or something. But if she heard it, I see her right now as reading this as one that didn't. And you know, like I said, people go by, let me get more specific. Some professing Christians go by their personal feelings. They won't study the word of God, but see, they're going to go through their life on personal feelings. Remember the foolish man in the seventh chapter of Matthew? What did he build his house on? The sand. The sand. Doctrines of men and emotions and feelings of men and all that. That's what some Christians are doing. They're building their life on personal feelings. They lean toward personal. They think it's more personal feelings. They say, well, I put my personal feelings aside. Well, you do that, the word of God should have been up front. But she was trying to call personal feeling. Well, what is your personal feeling per se? If you're saying that I feel like it's wrong, well, does God support you in that? And if you see that, then, hey, it will be more than your personal feeling. It is the Lord, his word. But see, people want to stay in personal feelings. Amen. So me personally, I would be ministering to her and say, hey, listen, what you're doing is abomination in the sight of God, and God really hates that. Now, it's your decision. You want to go on with it. I said, but you're going to suffer the consequences. See, one of the other things we don't do, we don't warn people. I'm not telling you to warn them and get on their nerves and call in their house every day and write letters, and every time you see them in the street, stop it. I'm warning you. I ain't talking about like that. But give the proper warning at the time and let them choose. We don't want to do that because you know why? Some of us are afraid that the people that are doing this stuff, if we warn them, they will quit talking to us. We care more about their personal feelings than we do about pleasing God. This is why the Lord set up an order in his word that he is to be number one. But what do we do? Oh, we ain't following that God. The person I'm close to is going to be number one. You get what I'm saying? That's what we have done. Amen. That is what we have done. Glory to God. Now, let me read to you another research. And this is titled, Doctor Performs Abortions Because I'm a Christian. This was posted August the 11th, 2014. Now, this is what it says. Dr. Willie Parker is one of the two doctors who perform abortions at the Only Woman's Health Clinic in Mississippi. This is where I'm at, where abortions are performed. Parker is a devout Christian, who feels he's doing the right thing to help women in need. Once again, that's that feeling. That's that feeling, okay? He's the subject of a profile in Esquire magazine. Many of y'all know what Esquire magazine is. He's a subject of a profile in Esquire magazine called The Abortion Ministry of Dr. Willie Parker. Wow, abortion ministry. Wow, so we're naming abominable acts with a ministry. So we could say the Pride Ministry or the Lion Ministry. Okay, so now they entitled The Abortion Ministry of Dr. Willie Parker. Parker, on whether or not he is doing the right thing, this is what he said. He says, I feel absolutely certain that it is never wrong to help someone when a woman needs a good obstetrician. There is no shortage of folks standing in line to deliver her baby. But when a woman is pregnant and she does not want to be, She also needs the same quality and level of health care because abortion is health care. Did you hear that? He said abortion is health care. His rationale, he said, he is certain that it's never wrong to help someone. To help someone. Go back to the robbery I'm talking about. If the guy you know wants to rob the bank, okay? Or let's say if the guy, hey, okay, my brothers in Christ, answer this question. If you got another fellow brother that comes up and you know he married, and he needs a ride to go see this other woman, what are you going to do? He said, well, I ain't got no ride. Or if you say that I need to go to this certain place and you know this is another woman that's there, he may not come out and tell you. Let's say he don't come out and tell you that he's seen another woman. But you notice that, let's say you noticed before that it's a certain woman there and they've been kind of looking at each other in front of the way, you know what I'm talking about. And he's telling you, say, man, I ain't got no ride to this place. I need to ride there. And you know him. And let's say he come out there and tell you, say, hey, I want to see this certain lady. What are you going to say? I don't think it's nothing wrong with helping someone. Okay. You're going to be a partaker of them doing that scene, doing that abominable act. Okay. That's what we're doing. Wow. Wow. Now, I say this, not everybody, but there's no doubt that many who uphold abortion had at some point heard some Christians say abortion is wrong and did not try to look it up themselves. They went by personal feeling. They said, well, I don't feel it's wrong. I feel a woman should have a right to do it. See, this thing coming more argument of personal feelings, not about seeking the word of God, not by seeing what God says. It's coming by personal feeling. I don't feel it's nothing wrong. Man, really? Wow. So my question is that what you would tell God? I finally confront you and said, you know, abortion is wrong. What are you going to say? Well, God, I didn't feel it was wrong. And God said, exactly right. You may not feel, but see, you didn't get knowledge to find out, was it? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I read to you one of the messages when it says man's heart is filled with one of the things it named, murder. Well, you know, in Matthew chapter 15, it said out of the heart of man comes what? And it names the different things and they include what? Murders. Amen. Hallelujah. And that word heart and that 15th chapter of Matthew, 19th verse, you know, the Greek word there means figuratively the thoughts or feelings, but also by analogy, it means the middle. Or that can be the very center of something, that's your spirit. Now, we see that in the word of God, Romans chapter 2, the heart is referred to as the spirit. Now, the thoughts, you know, and the feelings is go under what is called a soul, okay? Even though some translating, you know, when there was a translation of the original Greek word dealing with feelings and thoughts, instead of putting soul, they put heart, okay? Amen? But it also dealing with spirit. Do you know how some, you know, there are some gateways that cause stuff to get in our spirit and can cause murder. It's through the eyes and especially through what you hear, okay? You got some people that listens to murder and all this stuff over and over. Tell what, it gets down in you. And some of them watches that, constantly watching violence. You know, when you look at our, you know, what they play like is not Nintendo anymore, but many of y'all know what I play. Say they play these games and stuff on there. Notice the violence, okay? Cut head off, showing blood, just squirting out, all this stuff. Well, it's a trick of Satan. What are you trying to do? Put murder in the hearts
of our children, okay? That's the same way with a lot of these, you know, and one thing about it, gangster rap, for example. Gangster rap has gotten more and more foul. I remember when it first came out, NWA being the first group, and they were the first one to come out talking about selling drugs and shooting and killing. Well, from that, it escalated and got worse. I mean, it got to a point that was some real rappers like really, really going at each other to kill. And see, you had our young folks sitting there listening to this stuff. So what was happening? Murder was being planted in their hearts. See, this is what gets me about some Christians think that because you're a Christian, you can look and listen to anything. What you listen and look at, especially consistently, is what you cause to get down in you. Amen. Hallelujah. If a Christian man kept looking at pornographic movies, what you think gonna get down in his spirit? Adultery, fornication, lust, all they gonna get in him. Same way with a Christian woman, okay? But see, we want to still stay tied to the world. We don't want the world to know that we have to put off those things. So we try to stay tied to them. We want to stay hip and down to them, you know, connected. Yeah, I'm a hip man. Well, you know, because we want to be liked by the world. Well, if your soul end up lost, guess who can't help you? The world. Why? Because when you look down and lost in hell, you see the world in hell. Okay? So they can't help you. They can't help me. Can't, you know, what if you end up lost like that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And see, you have some Christians that have gotten into looking at stuff, listening to stuff. Now they lust and desire, and after that, today they have what? Shaped their lives by it. Now what? They're becoming an abomination. Amen. You can't listen and look at everything, people. Come on. It got to be a limit. You know, this unlimited stuff, it's just ridiculous. It has to be a limit. Okay? And we acting like it don't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. This is what it said about Israel. Isaiah chapter 1, that faithful city now is a place of large murderers. And see, this was going on among the people of God today. Murderers in the camp. Amen. Murderers in the camp. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord God, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon our soul. Have mercy upon us, Lord. See, we need it, people. We need the mercy of God today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read a scripture from the record of the Nephite. Amen. Record of people that inhabited this continent during the prehistoric times, who God dealt with and used and gave his word to. Amen. And they were saying that during this time, this particular time, the days of a leader named Com, C-O-M, it said many prophets. There came many prophets, and they prophesied of the destruction of that great people, except they should repent and turn unto the Lord and forsake their murders and wickedness. Okay? Now, this is among
the people of the Lord, that there were murderers, okay? Hallelujah. Among them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's murderers among the people of God today, and especially those who claim to be of the Lord. There's some who claim to be of the Lord who have a murdering spirit. I mean, not just harm you physically, but spiritually, they go for the dropping the do-to-do on you, okay? Hallelujah. Now, let me read another scripture from you from the record of Nephi, from a man of the Lord named Jairus, okay? And this is what he said during his time here on this continent, the people. He said, and there were many among us which have many revelations, but they are not all stiff-necked. And as many as are not stiff-necked and have faith, have communion with the Holy Spirit, which make it manifest unto the children of men according to their faith. And now, behold, 200 years have passed away, and the people of Nephi waxed strong in the land. They observed to keep the law of Moses and the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord, and they profaned not, neither did they blaspheme. And the laws of the land were exceedingly strict. And they were scattered upon much of the face of the land, and the Lamanites also. And they were exceeding more numerous than they of the Nephites, and they loved murder and would drink the blood of beasts. Now these Lamanites, and I've shared with y'all in the other series, they were one of the two groups on this continent during the prehistoric times. The Nephites was considered to be the people of God, and the Lamanites was considered not to be. And so in reading here, Jairus said there were more Lamanites than it was Nephites. Well, you look at today, it's more in the world than that's professing Christians, okay? The Lamanites, in this case, will represent the unregenerated man and also the part of the man that is not regenerated, according to, 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, the outward man, which is our flesh. See, your flesh has not been changed yet, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Galatians chapter 5 in the Bible tells us that one of the works of the flesh is murder. Okay? See, our flesh left unchecked, our flesh will love to commit the sin. And in Galatians, we're given a list of stuff that the flesh, wants to do. So when we leave our flesh unchecked and give in to what Paul said in Romans 8, being debtors to the flesh, like we owe the flesh, okay, then you get into some abominable acts, okay? These Lamanites recorded here love the murder, okay? And you got some people who are supposed to be even professing believers who love the murder, not just physically, but they like to kill your faith, your joy. There's some people who claim to be of God. They can't stand you being happy. Oh, I know that's a tough pill for some of y'all to swallow, but it's true. They can't stand to see you happy. They can't stand to see a husband and wife getting along. Can't stand it. And you're supposed to be professing Christian. Can't stand it. Hallelujah. And we're told in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, we're told not to love the world nor the things of it, right? Amen? We're told not to do that. See, the Lamanites represent the unregenerated man, they are the world, who love murder. And we're told not to do that. Now, here's the thing. If we're told not to do that, then that means that we must be capable of doing it, okay? And so when we don't obey the word in that area, we're capable of doing it. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And see, according to 2 Nephi chapter 26, Satan is the founder of murder. And Jesus said in John chapter 8 that Satan is a murderer and liar from the beginning. So he found, he started the murder thing going on, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the precious word of the Lord. Thank God for this opportunity given tonight to go into the word with you. Glory be to God. Thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Father, we ask today that you will bless every heart that was tuned in and listening for the glory of God, and bless them to come and understand and know truth. So Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for the very word of truth. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget, Lord say the same. I'll be back Tuesday with another broadcast. Look for the advertisement then. So once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.